Welcoming all of you to the Bhakti Sangha conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have His Grace Adi Gadadhar Prabhuji. Prabhuji is going to enlighten us on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, 27th Chapter, 8th Verse. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, are you present on the call?
Hare Krishna. Yes, I am here. Sorry, I forgot
Hare.
One. Thank you,
Hare
Vandana.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavach Pranam. Please accept my humble obeisances. All goes to Srila Prabhupada. All goes to Guru Maharaj. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for giving your valuable time and association to us this morning and enlightening us on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam. I'll hand out the call to you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Vandana Mataji, for introducing. And my gratitude to Shama Gauri Mataji for giving me this opportunity to serve all of you today. We will begin by chanting Jai Radha Madha.
Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Vihar Gopichana Vallabha Girivara Thai. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Vihar Gopijana Vallabha Girivara Hari Yashodanandana Vrajajana Ranjana Yashodanandana Vrajajana Ranjana Yamuna Tiravana Chari Yamuna Tiravana Chari Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Gopijana Vallabha Girivaradhari Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Gopijana Vallabha Girivaradhari
Hare Krishna. Let us begin by chanting our Mangala Charan prayers.
Om Ajnanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manohishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamanyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamuscha Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitinamine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpataru Vyascha Kribasindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gauratmise Namaha Pancha Tattvatmakam Krishnam Bhaktarupa Swarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakhyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye జై శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్తవృంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవా ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ హరే కృష్ణ వి ఆర్ రీడింగ్ టుడే ఫ్రమ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం 4th క్యాంటో chapter number 27 entitled attack by chandaveg on the city of king puranjan we will be reading two verses verse number 8 and verse number 9 verse number 8 Srila Narad Muni is describing this story to Maharaj Prachini Barhi Narad Muni saying, Sapanchalapati putran pitru vamsha vivardhanan Daray sanyo jayamasa duhitru sadrishayvaray Synonyms, saha, he, Panchalapati, the king of Panchal. Putran, sons, Pitrivamsha, paternal family, Vivardhanan, increasing, Daraihi, with wives, Samyojayam, Asa, married, Duhitri, daughters, Santrishah, qualified, Varahe with husbands. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Abhay Charanaravinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada ISKCON BBT Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya. Translation After this, King Puranjan, King of the Panchal country, in order to increase the descendants of his paternal family, married his sons with qualified wives and married his daughters with qualified husbands. Purport. According to the Vedic system, everyone should marry. One has to accept a wife because a wife will produce children and the children in their turn will offer foodstuffs and funeral ceremonies so that the forefathers, wherever they may live, will be made happy. The offering of oblations in the name of Lord Vishnu is called Pindodaka, and it is necessary that the descendants of a family offer Pinda to the forefathers. Not only was Puranjan, the king of Panchal, satisfied in his own sex life, but he arranged for the sex life of his 1100 sons and 110 daughters. In this way, one can elevate an aristocratic family to the platform of a dynasty. It is significant in this verse that Puranjan got both sons and daughters married. It is the duty of a father and mother to arrange for the marriage of their sons and daughters. That is the obligation in Vedic society. Sons and daughters should not be allowed freedom to intermingle with the opposite sex unless they are married. This Vedic social organization is very good in that it stops the promulgation of illicit sex life or Varna Sankara, which appears under different names in this present day. Unfortunately, in this age, although the father and mother are anxious to get their children married, the children refuse to get married by the arrangement of the parents. Consequently, the number of Varna Sankara has increased throughout the world under different names. Hare Krishna. So, dear devotees, we will pause, discuss, and then we will go to verse number 9. So here, Narad Muni is explaining to Maharaj Prachina Parhi that this King Puranjan, in order to increase his descendants, he got his sons and daughters married to qualified daughters and husbands respectively. And then Srila Prabhupada explains the Vedic system. Srila Prabhupada explains the Varnashram system, how marriages would take place in the Vedic times. But now in Kali Yuga, the Varnashram system has been destroyed by the influence of Kali Yuga. And Srila Prabhupada describes how this free intermingling with the opposite sex is not a Vedic way of life. And how it is the duty of parents to find suitable spouse for their children. It is a sacred duty. If we don't do this, if we don't follow the Vedic culture, if we don't follow the principles of Krishna consciousness, like Srila Prabhupada has taught us, when husband and wife come together in marriage and they want to have children, then Srila Prabhupada said they should at least chant 50 rounds. At least 50 rounds they should chant before they come together to have children. And what is the principle? The principle behind this 50 rounds of japa is purity. Because Srila Prabhupada said it is purity that is the force. And purity comes from Cheto Darpana Marjanam, comes from Shri Krishna Sankirtanam. It comes from chanting the holy names of Krishna, either individually in japa or collectively. If the husband and wife come together and they chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare, it becomes Sankirtan. Because the husband and wife are coming together and with all their hearts, with all their sincerity, they are chanting. It becomes Sankirtan. So husband and wife can come together, sit together and chant at least 50 rounds, Srila Prabhupada said, of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And then you come together and you pray. Pray to Guru and Gauranga to give a nice Krishna conscious child. And then the progeny who is born will be very Krishna conscious, will be a very good child. This is the process of Garbhadhan Samskar that Srila Prabhupada has taught us. It is based on the principle of purity. Purity and sincerity. So this is very, very important principle. Any devotee who wants to have a child must follow the principle that was taught by Srila Prabhupada. maintaining purity, being absorbed in Krishna consciousness, hearing, chanting, and chanting at least 50 rounds, husband and wife together. This can be done. If we do Garbhadhan Samskar, it will save us from a lot of trouble in the future. Because if we get a child who is not spiritually inclined, a child who is not devotionally inclined, then rest of our lives will be struggling. It is said that there are four types of sons. The first type of son is whatever you want the child to do, even without telling, the child will do it. That is called Suputra or Putra. One who delivers the father. Tra means Trayate, to deliver the father, and Pu is one of the hellish planets where the Pitras fall down when they lose all their pious credits, when their pious credits are exhausted. So Putra is that child, that son, who delivers the parents from hellish condition of life. So the first child, first type of child is one who does what he is supposed to do without being told. Second category is they don't do it on their own, but when they are told, when the order is given by the father, the child carries it out. That is the second category, second class. First class, you don't even have to tell. From the Shastra, from the scriptures, they know what is to be done and they do it. Second category, they will not do it on their own, but if you tell them, they will do it perfectly, no problem. That is second class son. Third class son is you have to tell them, they will not do on their own. You tell them, and even after telling, they will only do partially. They will not do it properly. They will just do half-heartedly, partially. And the fourth class son is even after telling, they don't do it. They will not do it. Even after telling them, they will not do it. Like Maharaj Vena, we few months ago we were reading about Maharaj Vena in the fourth canto. So he was a great source of pain to his father, Maharaj Anga, who was a descendant of Dhruv Maharaj. Maharaj Anga was so frustrated with this fourth class son, Vena, that he just left the kingdom. Just left the kingdom. So such fourth class sons are actually not putra. Srila Prabhupada explains that they are mutra. They are the urine of the father. They are not fit to be called putra, the fourth class. Like Maharaj Vena, they should be rejected. Sons like Duryodhan, they are not putra, they are mutra. They are equivalent to stool and urine. So they should be refused, they should be rejected. Vidur told Maharaj Dhritarashtra, when Duryodhan was born, he saw how he was braying like a donkey and how there were so many inauspicious signs in the environment. Vidur, who is a Mahajan, who is very learned, who was a well-wisher of Maharaj Dhritarashtra and who was one of the ministers of Maharaj Dhritarashtra, out of goodwill, he told Dhritarashtra Maharaj, you have 99 other sons. Just train them nicely under Bhishma Dev. But this one son, Duryodhan, will spoil the remaining 99. Therefore, immediately reject Duryodhan. He is not putra, he is mutra. Just like we flush stool and urine, malamutra, we just flush it without thinking twice. You just reject this eldest son, Duryodhan, because he is mutra, he is not putra. But Dhritarashtra was so attached to this son, he refused the good advice of Vidur. And see what happened. See what happened. All the other 99 sons had to die because of Duryodhan. So this is, therefore it is important to do Garbhadhan Samskar. Therefore it is important to be always absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Therefore it is important to be sincere devotees of Krishna. What is the principle behind Garbhadhan Samskar? That when we do Garbhadhan Samskar, we have to be in pure consciousness. Why not be in pure consciousness 24/7? Why not be in pure consciousness 365 days of the year? Why just one day? 365 days. We should always be Krishna conscious. When a devotee sees what Srila Prabhupada is saying, oh, you want to have a child? 50 rounds. Ekadashi, 64 rounds. Hearing all these instructions, a sincere devotee understands what is the desire of the spiritual master. The spiritual master wants us to be absorbed. wants us to take Krishna consciousness very seriously. There is a story in Narada Puran. It's a true story in Narada Puran that when Hiranyakashipu, the great demon, when he got the news that his brother Hiranyaksha had been killed by Lord Narayan, he was furious, and Hiranyakashipu wanted to take revenge. How to take revenge? First, I have to become very powerful. Then I can kill Narayan. I can kill all these devatas. So how to become powerful? Hiranyakashipu knew the way to become powerful. The way to becoming powerful is not by going to the gym and lifting weights. To become powerful does not mean that you build your muscles or take protein powder. Becoming powerful, really powerful, if you want to become, you have to do tapasya. It is by austerity and penance that one gets power. And this is not just muscle power. This is yogic power. Yogic power. So this yogic power comes from tapasya. So Hiranyakashipu went and he started doing severe austerities because he wanted to become very powerful. Now, in the heavenly planets, all the devatas were becoming very, very scared, very concerned. Indradev was becoming very scared. He knew how determined and how powerful Hiranyakashipu was. If he performed tapasya with the intention of becoming powerful, he will become very powerful. And then he will attack the devatas. So they were getting very concerned. They went to Lord Brahmaji. Even Brahmaji was concerned. What is going to happen now? And at that time, Srila Narad Muni appeared in the assembly of Lord Brahma. And he said, "My dear father, my dear Brahmaji, why are you so concerned?" And Brahmaji told him, "What is happening?" Now Narad Muni knows past, present and future. He knows everything because he's a pure devotee. He said, "My dear father, don't worry. I know how powerful this Hiranyakashipu is. I know what his evil intentions are. But I will try my best to disturb his austerities." So near Kailash Mountain, on the tip of a particular peak, mountain peak, Hiranyakashipu was standing on the tip of his toes with his hands upraised, deep in meditation, having given up food and water and everything. Hiranyakashipu was doing tapasya. Narad Muni did not go alone. Narad Muni took his friend Parvat Muni with him. So Parvat Muni and Narad Muni, they go where Hiranyakashipu is performing his austerities on the top of the mountain. There is nobody else there. And why did Hiranyakashipu choose that place at the top of a mountain peak in a lonely area in the Himalayas? Because nobody will come to disturb him there. When they do this tapasya, they do this austerities, this penance, this meditation to get yogic powers, it is important to not get distracted. So Hiranyakashipu wanted to make sure that he is not distracted. So he went to a very solitary, lonely place. But Narad Muni did not leave him alone. You know, Narad Muni is the transcendental trickster. So Narad Muni goes there, but not in the form of Narad Muni. He takes the form of a small little sparrow, small little bird. And he tells his friend Parvat Muni also to take the form of a small sparrow. So Narad Muni and Parvat Muni, in the form of two tiny little sparrows, they go where Hiranyakashipu is doing his intense meditation. And Parvat Muni and Narad Muni, in the form of two little sparrows, they sit on the top of a tree, very close to where Hiranyakashipu has just started performing his austerities. And Narad Muni, very loudly, you know, birds can scream really loudly. Very loudly, Narad Muni chanted, "Om Namo Narayanaya, Om Namo Narayanaya, Om Namo Narayanaya." Three times, Narad Muni, in the form of the bird, he screamed out, "Om Namo Narayanaya." And Hiranyakashipu, he is the enemy of Lord Narayan. He is doing this austerity to get power so he can avenge the death of his brother, Hiranyaksha, by killing Narayan and all the followers of Narayan who are called devatas. He wants to kill them. And here, when he's doing austerity, our Narad Muni comes in the form of a bird and chants the name of Narayan very loudly so that Hiranyakashipu can hear. Hiranyakashipu becomes, first time he hears Om Namo Narayanaya, he becomes disturbed. Second time he hears Om Namo Narayanaya, he becomes very angry. And third time, when that bird chants Om Namo Narayanaya very loudly, Hiranyakashipu becomes so disturbed, he picks up his bow and arrow, gives up his meditation, picks up his bow and arrow and takes a aim at the sparrows, who are actually Narad Muni and Parvat Muni. But Narad Muni's body is not material, it is spiritual. They immediately fly off and disappear. Hiranyakashipu cannot see them. Where are they gone? Where are they gone? So Hiranyakashipu gets very frustrated. But now his meditation is broken. The rule is, once you start doing the meditation, even if for one moment you are distracted, you take a break, finished. You have to start from zero. Just see, this is the path of yogic mysticism. This is the path of karma kanda. If I do this, I want this. If I do this, I want this. But just see, one little lapse, one little mistake, and you have to start from zero. You have to start from zero. There is no concession. But look at our bhakti, bhakti marg. Look at on the path of bhakti, on the path of devotional service. What is the beauty? Neha vikramana shosti pratyavayo na vidyate svalpamapyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bhayat. There is no loss or diminution on the path of bhakti. You do little bit, it will always stay with you. And towards the end of the class, we will see how that is so. So Hiranyakashipu got zero marks in his exam. He lost everything. He had to give up everything. And in great frustration, he came back to his palace. He went back to his capital city. And at that time, it is described, Kayadhu had just taken a bath. And she had worn fresh clothes. And she came in front of Hiranyakashipu. And she said, ah, Patidev! She offered obeisances to Hiranyakashipu. Patidev, you told us that you are going to do tapasya in the forest and you will be doing tapasya for 10,000 years. But within few days you have come back. I am very happy to see you. But what made you give up your vow of austerity and come back so early? What happened? Hiranyakashipu tells his beautiful wife Kayadhu, sit down Kayadhu, sit down. Let me tell you what happened. I went to the Himalayas. I have selected a very isolated mountain. I went to the top of that mountain where nobody will disturb me. And I started doing my tapasya. But these two birds came and loudly they chanted a mantra in my ears. Kayadhu said, what? Birds chanting mantra? How is that possible? Hiranyakashipu told her, I'm not joking, I'm telling you the truth. That bird chanted, Om Namo Narayanaya, Om Namo Narayanaya, Om Namo Narayanaya. Not once, not twice, but three times. Three times he chanted the name of my enemy, Narayan, in my ears. I got so frustrated. I gave up my yogic posture. I picked up my bow and arrow and I took a aim. I was about to kill these two birds. But these little rascal birds, they flew away and disappeared. And therefore, I'm so frustrated. My enemies can never escape. But these two birds escaped and I'm so frustrated. I'm in such a bad mood. When Kayadhu heard this, he said, what? The birds chanted Om Namo Narayanaya three times? How is that possible? Hiranyakashipu said, I don't know who those birds were, but I am very frustrated. So the wife says, don't worry. You don't be frustrated. You sit down. Let me massage your feet. Let me feed you nice food. So she orders nice food from the royal cooks, royal chefs in the palace. She sumptuously feeds Hiranyakashipu to brighten up his mood. And starts massaging him, starts glorifying him, starts praising him, starts speaking sweetly to Hiranyakashipu. And Hiranyakashipu is now very pacified. And with great affection, he picks up his wife and then they unite. And when they unite, the child who enters the womb of Kayadhu is our Prahlad Maharaj, our Mahajan, a pure devotee. So one may wonder, Hiranyakashipu was so sinful and Kayadhu was always serving Hiranyakashipu. So how could they get a pure child like Prahlad Maharaj?
Well, Narad Puran describes the mystery. How a sinful person like Hiranyakashipu can get a Mahajan, pure devotee son like Prahlad Maharaj? It is because of Narad Muni. Narad Muni did the Garbhadan Samskar of Prahlad Maharaj. First, he made the father, Hiranyakashipu, three times hear Shuddhanam, the name chanted by a pure devotee. It was Shuddhanam, it was not Namapraj, it was not Namabhas, it was Shuddhanam. So Hiranyakashipu heard Shuddhanam from Narad Muni and Parvat Muni. Then he came and he repeated that in a neglectful way, like in Helena, in just without appreciating the power of the holy name. But he repeated it three times. So Hiranyakashipu heard Shravanam and he spoke it to Kayadu, Kirtanam. And then Kayadu heard it from Hiranyakashipu, Shravanam, and she said, what? The birds chanted Om Namo Narayanaya? So she also chanted. So both of them did hearing and chanting, Shravanam and Kirtanam. And because just before coming together to have a child, they were chanting and hearing the names of Lord Narayan. The child who was born was Narayana Parayana. The child was a great devotee of Lord Narayan, Prahlad Maharaj. So this is the power of Garbhadhan Samskar. This is what Srila Prabhupada is talking about. If we don't do this, then there will be population growth of Varna Sankara. Unwanted, unqualified progeny. So devotees have to be very careful. We have to be absorbed in Krishna consciousness all the time. And then Hiranyakashipu again went for the second time, his second attempt. Hiranyakashipu did not pass in the first attempt. He passed in the second attempt. Second attempt, he went again to do tapasya. But this time Narad Muni did not disturb because his purpose was served. The Garbhadan Samskar was done and Prahlad had appeared in the womb of Kayadu. And when Indra wanted to abort little Prahlad in the womb of Kayadu, Narad Muni intervened and he said, no, you let Kayadu stay in my ashram because the child in the womb is a great devotee. Narad Muni is so humble, he could have told this story to the devatas that I did the Garbhadan Samskar, I chanted this mantra by the power of my chanting. A Mahajan has appeared in the womb of Kayadu. Narad Muni doesn't say anything like that. He just says that the child in the womb of Kayadu is a great devotee. Therefore, don't think of killing the child in the womb. Don't think of abortion. And Indra has so much faith in Narad Muni, in the words of his guru. As soon as Narad Muni says that the child in the womb of Kayadu is a great Mahajan, great devotee, Indra immediately gives up his plan of killing the child and he circumambulates Kayadu. Out of respect. Indradev and all the devatas are circumambulate Kayadhu with great respect, knowing that the child Kayadhu is carrying in the womb is a Mahajan, is a great devotee. This is the great quality of Indra. He is willing to change his plans because his guru has spoken something. He has full faith in the words of his guru, Narad Muni. So this is a very good quality of Indradev. Now one may wonder, so Hiranyakashipu and Kayadu came together. Kayadu became pregnant with Prahlad Maharaj. And then Hiranyakashipu went for 10,000 years to do tapasya. Again, second time in the forest. So then until then, Kayadu was staying in the ashram of Narad Muni. And when Hiranyakashipu came back, then Prahlad was born. So how could the pregnancy last? Pregnancy lasts for 9 months. How could the pregnancy last for 10,000 years? Well, we are not talking about the human species. This is a very special pregnancy. And these people like Kayadhu, Hiranyakashipu, they had mystic siddhis. So the pregnancy could last 10,000 years. Until the time was appropriate, the child did not come out. When the father came back, then the child came out. Prahlad Maharaj came out. It's a divine pregnancy, not ordinary human being. This is not a human species. The demons, they are much more advanced than human beings. So it was possible. And for 10,000 years, Prahlad Maharaj was hearing Krishna Katha in the womb of his mother. This is the power of Garbha Samskar. Very, very important. To be absorbed in Krishna consciousness always. We have to be sincere devotees. We have to chant our rounds nicely in the morning. 16 rounds must be done very attentively before 7 a.m. every day. 7 days a week. 365 days a year. Reading Srila Prabhupada's books. Hearing lectures of Srila Prabhupada and our Guru Granth must happen every single day. No excuse. We should not chant our 16 rounds in the car or in the lunch break, in the office, on the counter. No. That is not the right way. You have to be absorbed in Krishna consciousness. So that it's not just about garbha samskar, it's not just about producing a progeny. Even the thoughts that come into our hearts, even the thoughts that come into our minds, they are influenced by our consciousness. That is why we have to always try to situate ourselves in the pure transcendental platform. I repeat, at all times, all of us must try our best to stay on the spiritual platform. Sometimes we feel, okay, just this one video. It's only a 30-minute video. Thoda sa time pass. Let me just, you know, do some time pass, some sense gratification, some enjoyment. It's required. It's okay, but it should be done in a sattvic way. It should be done in a spiritual way. We can watch the dramas of Radha Gopinath Media. Such nice dramas they are doing. They're all on YouTube. So we should somehow or the other try to be Krishna conscious at all times. We should not, because see, we give little bit leeway to Maya and she enters into the house, then it is very difficult to purify ourselves. Maya is like a dacoit who is banging on the door. If we open the door, then Dakini, she will come inside and she will just loot us. So we should not give even little bit leeway to Maya. We should try to be on the pure platform all the time. We have to remind ourselves, if I do this, I'm going to fall down. If I do this, I'll get contaminated. We should avoid those things. We should try to be on the platform of purity at all times. Otherwise, every now and then we will have a fall down. Why we have fall down? Because we give a leeway to Maya. We give a little, we open the door a crack for Maya to enter. So we have to be very careful. Everything can be done in a Krishna conscious way. If you want to play cricket, play with devotees. You want to play basketball, play with devotees. You want to go for a walk, go with devotees. You want to go on a vacation, go with devotees. Either our family members who are devotees or with devotee friends, even more fun. So whatever recreation we want to do, we should do it with devotees. Please. Whatever, I repeat, whatever recreation we want to do, have it with devotees. You want to have a party, you want to have fun, do it with devotees. You want to play dumb charades, play it with devotees on a Krishna conscious topic. So all our fun, our recreation, enjoyment is required. We need fun also in our lives. But let's do it in a Krishna conscious way. There is so much fun in the spiritual world. Shri Ru, what is that? O Rupa Lavanya Rashi Amiya Poriche Kasi Hasya Pari Hasya Sambhashane Narottama Dasa Kohe Nitya Lila Sukha Mohe Sada Ispuru Kamo Ramane Hasya Pari Hasya Sambhashane. The conversations that are happening in the spiritual world with all the Manjaris, Rupa Goswami, Rupa Manjari, all the Sakhis, there is a lot of laughter, a lot of joking, a lot of fun in the spiritual life. So yes, spiritual life should be fun, but it should be done in a Krishna conscious way, my dear friends. We should try to situate ourselves always on the transcendental platform. There should be no compromise on that. Hare Krishna. Let's go to the next verse. We saw the importance of Garbha Samskar. We saw the importance of being absorbed in Krishna consciousness at all the times. Verse number 9. Putranam chabhavan putra ekai kasya shatam shatam yairve pauranjano vamshah panchaleshu samedhitah. Putra, synonyms, putranam of the sons, cha also, abhavan were produced, putrah sons, eka ekasya of each one, shatam 100, shatam 100, yahi by whom, vai certainly, puranjanaha of king Puranjan, vamshaha family, panchaleshu in the land of Panchal, samedhitah greatly increased. Translation, of these many sons, each produced hundreds and hundreds of grandsons. In this way, the whole city of Panchal became overcrowded by these sons and grandsons of King Puranjan. Purport. We must remember
that Puranjan is the living entity and the city Panchal is the body. The body is the field of activity for the living entity. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Kshetra Kshetrajna, there are two constituents. One is the living entity Kshetrajna and the other is the body of the living entity Kshetra. Any living entity can know that he is covered by the body if he only contemplates the body a little bit. Just with a little contemplation, he can come to understand that the body is his possession. One can understand this by practical experience and by the authority of the Shastras. In Bhagavad Gita 2.13, it is said, Dehinosmin yatha dehe, the proprietor of the body is the soul, and the soul is within the body. The body is taken as the panchal desh, or the field of activities, wherein the living entity can enjoy the senses in their relationship to the five sense objects. Namely, gandha, nose, rasa, taste, roop, eyesight, sparsha, skin, touch, and shabda, words, speech. That is, sense objects made out of earth, smell, water, taste, roop, form, fire, sparsha, touch is air, and sound is sky, sound vibrations. Within this material world, covered by the material body of subtle and gross matter, every living entity creates actions and reactions, which are therein known allegorically as sons and grandsons. So in the example of Maharaj Puranjan, Puranjan represents the Jivatma, which is us, living entity. The Panchal kingdom where he's staying, the city where he's staying, represents the body, physical body. And whatever we enjoy with our body, it happens through the five senses. And within this material world, covered by the material body, body of subtle and gross matter, every living entity creates actions and reactions. So all the actions and reactions that we are committing and we are creating, actions and reactions, karma, bandha, it is allegorically known in this story of Puranjan Maharaj as the sons and grandsons. So in this example, sons and grandsons of Puranjan Maharaj represents our actions and their reactions. Everything we do produces an action in this world. And then we get a reaction. Ramdas Swami is a great saint in Maharashtra. Samartha Ramdas of Sajjangad. Ramdas Swami says, Mana tvachire purva sanchita kele taya sarige bhogane prapta dhale. Whatever activities we do, pious or impious, accordingly we get our results. What is that verse from Padma Puran? Aprarabdha karam papam kutam bijo phalam mukah kramena eva praliyeta vishnu bhakti ratatmana. That whatever the sinful reactions we have committed, whether they are aprarabdha, kutam, bijam, whether in the seed form, they are about to take effect. Kramena eva praliyeta. Slowly, slowly, each and every one of those sinful reactions will be destroyed. Praliyeta means to destroy. In the purport later on, that same word will come. Bhutva, bhutva, praliyeta. Praliyeta means to destroy. So, kramena eva praliyeta. Certainly, step by step, they will be destroyed. Kramena eva praliyeta, Vishnu bhakti ratatman. If we develop Vishnu rati, if we develop Krishna prem, if we develop Krishna bhakti with sincerity, all the sinful reactions, whether they are in the form of a seed, whether they are about to fructify or they have already fructified, all the sins, they are all destroyed. All are destroyed. So yes, we are creating a lot of actions, reactions, karma bandha in this world. But this karma bandha is cut. The knots are cut by Krishna consciousness, by Krishna bhakti, by loving devotional service to Shri Krishna. there are two kinds of actions and reactions, namely pious actions and impious actions. In this way, our material existence becomes coated by different actions and reactions. In this regard, Shri Narottam Das Thakur states, Karma kanda gyana kanda kevala vishera bhanda amrita baliya yeva khaya nana yoni sada pire kadarya bhakshana kare tara janma adhapate yaya. Fruitive activities and mental speculation are simply cups of poison. Karma kanda gyana kanda kevala vishera bhanda. Fruitive activities, karma kanda, and mental speculation, gyana kanda. Karma kanda and jnana kanda, kevala vishera bhanda. They are nothing but simply they are cups of poison. Whoever drinks them, thinking them to be nectar, must struggle very hard, life after life in different bodies. Amrita bolia yeva khaya. One who considers this karma kanda and jnana kanda, which is poison, one who considers them to be amrit and drinks them, nana yoni sada phire, has to struggle very hard, life after life in different types of bodies. Such a person eats all kinds of nonsense and becomes condemned by his activities of so-called sense enjoyment. Thus, the field of action and reactions by which one's descendants are increased begins with sex life. Puranjan increased his whole family by begetting sons who in their turn begot grandsons. Thus, the living entity being inclined towards sexual gratification becomes involved in many hundreds and thousands of actions and reactions. In this way, he remains within the material world simply for the purpose of sense gratification and transmigrates from one body to another. This process of reproducing so many sons and grandsons results in so-called societies, nations, communities, and so on. All these communities, societies, dynasties, and nations simply expand from sex life. As stated by Prahlad Maharaj, Yan Maithunadi Griha Medhi Sukham Hituchham, Srimad Bhagavatam 7.9.45. A Griha Medhi is one who wants to remain within this material existence. This means that he wants to remain within this body or society and enjoy friendship, love, and community. His only enjoyment is in increasing the number of sex enjoyers. He enjoys sex and produces children, who in their turn marry and produce grandchildren. The grandchildren also marry and in their turn produce great-grandchildren. In this way, the entire earth becomes overpopulated, and then suddenly there are reactions provoked by material nature in the form of war, famine, pestilence, and earthquakes, etc. Thus, the entire population is again extinguished simply to be recreated. This process is explained in Sri Bhagavad Gita 8.19 as repeated. Creation and annihilation. Bhutva bhutva praliyate. In his lecture, Srila Prabhupada quotes this many times. Anybody who has heard Prabhupada's lectures will know Prabhupada many times said, Bhutva bhutva praliyate. This is from the 8th chapter, verse number 19 of Bhagavad Gita. When Krishna says that, again when Brahma's night comes, everything becomes unmanifested, everything is destroyed, annihilated, helplessly. And then Brahma's day comes, again creation takes place and all the living entities become manifest. So, bhutva bhutva means again creation and praliyate means destruction. Due to a lack of Krishna consciousness, all this creation and annihilation is going on under the name of human civilization. This cycle continues due to man's lack of knowledge of the soul and the supreme personality of Godhead. So, why this samsara dava is going on? Why this cycle of repeated birth and death is going on? It is because of, in one phrase, if you want to answer, it is because of lack of Krishna consciousness. It is because of avidya. That's all. It is because of avidya. Yomam veti asamudo janati purushottama sa sarvavid
bhajati mam sarva bhavena bharata. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that yomam evam asambhuto. One who without a doubt janati purushottama, knows me to be the supreme personality of Godhead, purushottama. Yomam evam asambhuto janati purushottama sa sarvavid. That person knows everything. One who knows Krishna, one who knows that Krishna is Bhagwan, Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead, knows everything. You don't have to have a master's degree, a bachelor's degree, a PhD, postdoc. Nothing is required. If you know Krishna, you know everything. Krishna is saying in Bhagavad Gita, Yomam evam asambhuto janati purushottam. One who without any doubt, asambhuto, knows me to be supreme personality of Godhead, purushottam. Purusha uttam. He is a supreme enjoyer. Purusha means enjoyer. And he is a supreme enjoyer. Yomam evam asambhuto janati purushottama sa sarvavid. That person knows everything. And what does that person do? One who knows Krishna? Sa sarvavid bhajati mam sarva bhavena bharata. Oh Arjun, such a person who knows me has no choice but to love me and become my devotee and worship me. Krishna is so sweet. One who knows Krishna is helplessly drawn towards Krishna. Once my spiritual master, Srila Radhanath Swami Maharaj, was saying in a lecture something very sweet. I love this point so much. So please hear this attentively. Srila Radhanath Swami Maharaj was saying that our Prabhupada, he says, Srila Prabhupada is an eternal resident. I am quoting Maharaj. Srila Prabhupada is an eternal resident of Seva Kunj Vrindavan, where eternally Radha and Krishna's Rasa Leela takes place. Hare Krishna. And because Seva Kunj, Radha Damodara temple where Srila Prabhupada lives, that is part of Seva Kunj. And Seva Kunj is the place where the Rasa Leela takes place. Sometimes Radharani's Nupur falls down and our Shamananda Pandit finds it while sweeping in the morning. That is Seva Kunj. So Srila Radhanath Swami Maharaj is saying Srila Prabhupada is the eternal residence of the Rasa Sthali. He is the eternal resident of Seva Kunj. And staying in Shri Shri Radha Damodar temple in Seva Kunj, Vrindavan, Srila Prabhupada performed deep bhajan all alone next to the Samadhi Mandir of Rupa Goswami. Next to the deities of Radha Damodar who were personally hand-carved by Rupa Goswami and given to Jiva Goswami. That Radha Damodar temple where all the acharyas are placed in Samadhi. There Srila Prabhupada, next to the Samadhi Mandir and Bhajan Kutir of Rupa Goswami, stayed. And he was doing intense bhajan, chanting, reading, singing. He would even clean the area of Rupa Goswami's Samadhi, pray to them. And he started writing Srimad Bhagavatam. Jiva Goswami is the most prolific writer in the history of mankind. He wrote more than 500,000 Sanskrit original verses. In the temple of that Jiva Goswami, Prabhupada sits and starts writing his Bhaktivedanta purports to Canto 1 of Srimad Bhagavatam. And Srila Prabhupada, when he came to America, Butler, Pennsylvania, once he was sitting in a park, it is there in Leelamrit. Some person was sitting next to him and he said, what are you thinking? What are you doing? What are you meditating? What is your ambition? And Srila Prabhupada just looked into the sky and said, there are hundreds of temples, there are thousands of devotees, only time is separating. Only time is separating me from them. So Srila Radhanath Swami Maharaj asks a question at this point. This is the height of confidence. How can Srila Prabhupada, who has nothing with him, who just suffered heart attack, he doesn't know how long he's going to live, none of his godbrothers are with him, how can he make such a statement that there are hundreds of temples, there are thousands of devotees, only time is separating me from them? Where this confidence is coming from? Srila Radhanath Swami Maharaj says, this confidence is coming from the heart of Srila Prabhupada, because in his heart, Srila Prabhupada has seen Krishna, has touched Krishna, has experienced the love and sweetness of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada is a self-realized acharya. He has performed so much service to Krishna. He knows Krishna. He has been affected by Krishna prema. So Prabhupada knows that the way what Krishna has done to me, what Krishna has done to my heart, Krishna will do to everyone's heart if one is sincere. So because Srila Prabhupada has been touched by the sweetness of love of Krishna, Prabhupada knows what happens when somebody chants Hare Krishna? From experience. And Srila Radhana Swami Maharaj gives the example, the proof from Srimad Bhagavatam, the Shastra Puran, Praman. He gives the Praman from Shastra. He says, when Krishna was leaving Vrindavan on the chariot of Akrur, the gopis, they were crying. And in between their sobs and their cries, the gopis spoke. Now our Krishna is leaving us and he is going to Mathura. We will be drowning in the ocean of viraha, separation. But oh, how fortunate are the ladies of Mathura. They will be swimming in the nectarian ocean of Krishna's association. Our loss is their gain. And when our Krishna will go to Mathura, and the ladies, the high class aristocratic educated ladies of Mathura will see our Krishna, they will fall in love with Krishna. They will be helplessly drawn towards Krishna. Their lives will become completely Krishnamaya. They will not know anything but Krishna. They will not be able to take their eyes off Krishna. When they will hear that Krishna is coming on the streets of Mathura, they may be in the middle of wearing sari. They will leave their sari like that and they will come running out on the road to see Krishna. When the ladies of Mathura will be putting some kajal, some anjan, some ointment around their eyes, looking in the mirror, and they will come to know Krishna and Balaram have come. They are walking on the road outside. They will leave their makeup, their cosmetics, and will go running to see Krishna, to take Krishna darshan. Krishna darshan lalasa. Some Mathura ladies will be cooking for their family. As soon as they hear Krishna has come, they will leave their cooking just like that and they will run on the road. Some Mathura ladies will be feeding their children their breast milk. As soon as they will hear Krishna has come, they will be helpless. They will just have to go running out to see Krishna. They will stop, leave what they are doing. And when Krishna goes to Mathura and he is walking on the streets of Mathura, my dear friends, this is exactly what happened. The prediction of the gopis of Vrindavan came 100% true. Why the gopis could make this prediction? Because the gopis had experienced that in their own life. When Krishna would play his flute, these same gopis had left their children, had left their parents, had left their husbands, had left their bathing, their oiling, their cosmetics, their sari wearing. All the activities they had just interrupted, given up, and they had run to the forest for Krishna. This is how the gopis were affected by Krishna's love, by Krishna Prem. This is what Krishna Prem had done to them. So they were speaking from experience. Oh, this happened to us. The same thing will happen to Mathura. And if you read the chapter in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam where Krishna enters the Mathura city, you will see exactly this is what happened to the ladies of Mathura. The prediction of the gopis came true. Because the gopis are pure devotees. Their words will never prove false. And they are speaking from realized experience. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada also was speaking from realized experience. Srila Prabhupada is a pure devotee. His words cannot come true. His words cannot prove false. His words have to come true. And they came true. Sahasra Rishu Shata Mandireshu. Our Kushagra Prabhu writes. Prediction came true. And there were hundreds of temples, 108 temples, and thousands of initiated disciples, more than 5,000 disciples. Srila Prabhupada's prediction came true because he was speaking from realized knowledge. This is our Srila Prabhupada. So this is what I wanted to speak on these two verses, my dear friends. We have got 2-3 more minutes. So are there any questions? We can take a couple of questions or comments if they are. I will stop here. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. Thank you so much for a wonderful class, Prabhu. It was so instructional. Thank you, Prabhu. If anybody have any questions or realizations, please go ahead.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. Dandavat Pranam. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for making so many points, and Hiranyakashipu's pastime was new to me. So thank you so much for that. Prabhuji, I have a question. So generally when we read through Bhagavatam, mostly instructions are given for sons, but how to deal with daughters? Deal in the sense, what is the right way to bring up a daughter? Because we often speak of training sons right from a young age, and we talk about different ashrams, but we don't spend much time upon talking or discussing of how to train daughters when they are young, or what is basically the right way to train daughters and how to bring them up in Krishna conscious way. If you can highlight few points, that will be helpful, Prabhuji. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. What is your good name, Prabhu?
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. This is Vivek from
Baltimore. Hare Krishna, Vivek Prabhu. Thank you for a nice question, Prabhu. So, Prabhu, this is like a traditional linguistic thing that we say son, or we say a man. He's a man of substance. He's a man of honor. He's a man of word. But it applies to women also. It's just a way of, it's a common parlance. It's a way of saying things that we say, you are not a man worth your salt. If you don't. So it's a way of saying, we say putra, we say man, we say boy. But actually it refers to woman, it refers to girl also. Same principles apply to girls also. So to answer your question, the upbringing, the principles of upbringing are the same, Prabhu, for man and woman. Srila Prabhupada said, all my temple halls must be divided into two equal halves. One for Prabhuji's, one for Mataji's. So there is equal. Everything Mataji's can also do. They can also do deity worship. They can also chant the same mantras, even Gayatri mantras. They can chant, sing the same bhajans. They can give the same class. They can read the same books. And they can go to the same abode, Goloka Vrindavan. Some of our greatest devotees have been ladies. In Srimad Bhagavatam, there are prayers of Uttara, there are prayers of Kunti Devi, there are prayers of Draupadi Devi, there are prayers of Nagapatni, there are prayers of the yagyik, the wives of the yagyik Brahman, the Brahman Patnis are there. And in our parampara also, Vishnu Priya Devi, Sita Thakurani, Malini Devi, Sachi Mata, these were some of the greatest devotees. Janava Devi was an initiating spiritual master, Diksha Guru, Ganga Mata Goswamini, Vishnu Priya Thakurani. These are all very great exalted devotees. Even in our ISKCON movement, Jamuna Mataji went back to Godhead. Sitting in a chair in Melbourne, Florida, chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra, she left her body. After doing Manas Puja and cooking Chappan Bhog for Krishna. Prabhupada said, in the early days, he said she's on the platform of Bhav already. Jamuna Devi went back to Godhead. Ladini Mataji went back to Godhead. So many devotees go back to Godhead, men and women. Principles are same, there is no problem. Now there are some specific details for women, some specifics, Prabhuji's and Mataji's, things that are different. And those you can understand. Do you understand Hindi, Prabhu?
Yes, Prabhuji.
You are very fortunate. Go to ISKCON Desire Tree, go to Swamis, go to Radha Govinda Swami, Srila Radha Govinda Swami Maharaj, and listen to two series of lectures. One is Kapilan Devahuti Mata Samvad, and one is Kashyap Muni's Samvad with his wife. So these two series of lectures, Kashyap Muni and Devahuti and Kapil Dev. These two series of lectures, if you hear, Prabhu, there Srila Radha Govinda Maharaj, who is a pure devotee, who is a Mahabhagwat, who has set the standard for Krishna Katha in our society, a very exalted disciple of Srila Prabhupada, he explains the specific things that should be taught to girls and women.
Okay.
How they should be very shy, how they should be very modest. All those things are given. So if you hear those lectures, Prabhu, all your questions will be answered. Srila Radha Govind Maharaj's lectures.
Thank you. Yes, Prabhuji. Thank you. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Dasosmi.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
Prabhuji, this is Sundari Gopidasi from Pittsburgh. We had come to your house in New Jersey.
Hare Krishna, Sundar Kumar.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Danda. Jai Shri Prabhupada. Prabhuji, thank you so much. I've been hearing your classes on and off, but trying to be regular. Very wonderful. Prabhuji, now that you're saying that, you know, there are some classes where they talk about how girls have to be shy and all. But now my daughter is older, one is 10. And the other ones are also there in line. They're like, I have total 3 now. So, you know, from the beginning of their life, I am not shy. So from my example itself, I cannot show that, you know, I might read some pastime and tell them, I can inspire them by reading. See, this is what happened. I myself might get inspired, but you know, it is not authentic because I'm not shy. I mean, that's not in my training. I mean, I wish I could be a little more submissive. I'm not submissive also. I mean, I don't have that womanly. I was brought up, I was like a tomboy. So for me to do that 360 degree change, when I speak, I don't have the conviction. The way you speak, see, you have that conviction. You have gone through something that you know, your heart will pour out and say, this is what you should not do, or this is what you should do. I can see from your talk, I mean, hear it. But you know, from my, when I say it is so shallow, because it's not in me. So...
Sundari Kupi Mataji, my humble obeisances to you. No. So it is not. So shy doesn't mean like that. So shy in certain respects, in certain situations, shy. We should be shy. For example, in the purport specifically, it is mentioned that too much intimate intermingling with the opposite sex, there, you know, that modesty, that shyness, that line of demarcation should be respected. But otherwise, one doesn't have to be shy. Yamuna Mataji was not shy when she went all the way to London and she was preaching to the Beatles. She was not shy. Ladini Mataji would take her Gaurita DT, then she would go on book distribution. All alone, Ladini Mataji went to Africa and she was preaching in all these God-forsaken countries all alone. So, shyness doesn't mean in that sense. We can speak, we can be outgoing. We can be outgoing. But there are certain situations, certain things where we should be, where a lady should be shy, and that is for her own good, because being shy, being modest is one of the ornaments of a lady, being chaste, and that applies to men also, being chaste. So everybody is born with a certain nature, and we don't have to be artificial. You know, some are extrovert, some are introvert. So, but what we are talking about here is certain situations where if they are not modest, where they are not, if they are not shy, they may attract undesirable elements from the society. You know what I mean, Matari? So in those situations, they have to be shy and modest in their behavior. But not otherwise. They can have fun. They can, you know, speak. They can sing and dance. No problem. But in certain situations, certain respects, especially when it comes with intimate intermingling, free intermingling with the opposite sex, that modesty, that shyness has to be, should be respected for their own good. Is that okay, Matari?
Yes, Prabhuji. I got your point, but it's that what you're saying, intermingling, that that specific thing for my own good. I myself don't have. I am so wild. I don't know. I mean, that's not how I was brought up. So my only question was, you know, if that general principle is lacking in a mother, how do a mother teach the child?
If certain principles or certain ways of behavior are not present in a parent, and the parent wants the child to inculcate those qualities which they don't have. So if you want your daughters to inculcate certain qualities which you feel you may not have, then the best way is to teach them, even though we may not have, but the best way is to teach them based on Shastra and keep their association as far as possible, keep the association like-minded. Sajatiya Sangha. keep the association like-minded, so that in the like-minded association, those qualities are nourished. Those qualities are automatically encouraged. Like that. Is that okay?
Yes, Prabhuji, we will try, but I mean, yeah. We have very little association for our children, Indian girls, and today the culture is being very, very different, so we will try to pick, but there's no pick and choose also for us choice. There are very, very limited options, and...
See, the good thing, Mataji, the good thing is that you have got three daughters, so they have each other's association, that is one. Second, on Bhakti Sangha, in the afternoons, every single day, there is very beautiful Sangha for children, where children come together on Zoom and they interact. So many children here in Atlanta, they join and they give me such wonderful feedback. So that is something you can look at. Then I think Arudha Mataji also conducts some classes on Bhagavatam for children. So like that, you can develop, even though it may not be physical association, but at least a virtual association can be done. But I think in your case, I'm not worried at all, because you have three daughters, so they will be each other's best friends, and they will give company to each other as they grow up. So there is no problem. Everything will be okay.
Okay, Prabhuji.
Now, Krishna consciousness is so wonderful, Mataji. Sundari Gopalaji. Krishna consciousness is so wonderful that just by practicing Krishna consciousness, all the desirable qualities, slowly, slowly, they automatically manifest. All these qualities of being chaste, of being shy, being modest in one's dealings. Because Vaishnava etiquette includes all these things. If you look at the Vaishnava etiquette manual, it's there on ISKCON Desire Tree under e-books, Vaishnava etiquette manual. It is so beautiful. It is based on Hari Bhakti Vilas of Sanatan Goswami. Just by practicing those Vaishnava etiquettes, all these qualities that we're talking about, they're automatically included. Automatically included. So like that. So they should have fun. Girls should also have fun. Once Vishakha Mataji told me, she had come to Atlanta. Yadubar Prabhu and Vishakha Mataji. I asked Vishakha Mataji, how do we be successful? How should we be successful in Krishna consciousness? So Vishakha Mataji told me and my wife that we should always keep the fun in Krishna consciousness alive. Keep the fun alive in Krishna consciousness. Have fun. You know, be silly, joke, do masti, have fun. Keep the fun in Krishna consciousness alive. Don't just be, you know, very serious, dry like a wood person practicing Krishna consciousness. Nobody will want to be a devotee. So be yourself. We are born with a nature. If somebody has a nature of, you know, being very outgoing, like you were saying, you were a tomboy. So whatever our nature is, within the maryada of Krishna consciousness, we can be ourselves. We have to. Krishna says that, you know, follow your swabhava. Don't try to be somebody else. Twice in Gita, Krishna says this point. That it is better to do one's own dharma, even though with faults, rather than try to do somebody else's dharma, even though perfectly. Such a deep statement. It is so counterintuitive. But no, it's a fact. Krishna has made us with a particular swabhava, and we have to use that swabhava to please Krishna to the best of our ability. Jagannatha Pandit had a swabhava of being very much wanting Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to enjoy. That was his nature. I want to give comforts and luxuries to Mahaprabhu. That nature never changed. Jagadananda Pandit never changed in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Damodar Pandit had a nature of taking a danda in his hand, stick, and, you know, being strict with Mahaprabhu. Do this. Why are you talking to the son of that beautiful young widow? People will start criticizing you. Stop associating with that boy. He would do like that. That is Damodar Pandit. Mukunda's nature was to just become very introvert, very sad when Mahaprabhu would neglect him. Or when Mahaprabhu would perform austerities. He would not say anything, but he would just stop eating. He would become very sad. He would stop speaking. That was his nature. So like that, different devotees have different names. Nityananda Prabhu would overrule Mahaprabhu. That was Nityananda Prabhu's nature. So we all have natures. We will be like Nityananda Prabhu. We will be like Jagadananda Pandit. We will be like Mukunda. Or we will be like Damodar Pandit. Different natures. But Mahaprabhu never told Jagadananda Pandit, why don't you become humble like Mukunda? No. Mahaprabhu accepted them with their nature. So whatever nature your daughters are born with, within the boundaries of Krishna consciousness, they can be nurtured, they can be trained, and they can have fun, and they can be Krishna conscious also. Is that okay, Mataji?
Yes, Prabhuji. Thank you very much. Please pray for us, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna. I pray at the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada and Srila Radha Gopinath, Gaur Nitaya, to bless you, to bless Prabhuji, and to bless all your children immensely, so that all of you, all five of you, are able to make tremendous progress in Krishna consciousness and you become Krishna Premi Bhaktas, lovers of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Ram, Hare Ram.
Ram, Ram, Ram.
Hare. Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you Hare. Very much, Prabhuji.
You and Prabhuji came to our little one-room apartment in New York and yes. We had a good time with you. I still remember. I had so much fun. It was snowing. I remember when you came in the winter.
Yes, Prabhuji. Yeah, thank you, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhuji, for such nikti in past times. All the points, I really love them. And Prabhu, I really like the point of Maya being the decoy, banging on the door, and how we don't have to open the door. Prabhuji, it really stuck with me, so I will try to follow that. And thank you, really, really amazing, Prabhuji. Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji, for your kind words. What is your good name, Mataji?
Akansha.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Akansha Mataji. Jai Shri Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Okay, goodbye, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dharmat Pranam. Prabhu, so when you said that the birth of Prahlad Maharaj and Hiranyakashipu going to the forest, so then that like 10,000 years, so that is how we have understood, like they have their own times, right? They have their own Maya. So can this be also applied to Sukadev Goswami's birth?
Hare Krishna. Shukdev Goswami is a little different because Shukdev Goswami came in a Nrideha, in a human body, in a human form, human species. But still, even in the human species, there can be transcendence because Shukdev Goswami is actually one of the empowered Shaktavesh avatars of Krishna. He is mentioned in the first canto. Among the 22 incarnations, he is one of them. Narad Muni is one of them. Chatushkumar, Shukdev Goswami also, Vyasdev also. Shukdev Goswami is an empowered incarnation of Krishna. So he can do extraordinary things even though he is in a Manav Sharir, even though he is in a human body. So yes, it can be applied because Shukdev Goswami is also not an ordinary person. He is Shaktyavesh avatar of Krishna. And he is Radharani's parrot from Golok Vrindavan. So yes, it can apply. Like Sharang Thakur Prabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's intimate friend and devotee, he made a dead body come alive. The boy's name was Murari. And then he just said, you chant Hare Krishna, and he was dead. He came back to life. So yes, these things are possible for devotees by Krishna's mercy. Yes, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you, Prabhu. And Prabhu, in the when you said about like how to bring up the daughters, I don't know whether I'm talking it right. Will the in the Ramayana, when Mother Anusuya is instructing Mother Sita, will that also be applicable to explain it to kids?
Absolutely, absolutely. In fact, that conversation of Anusuya Devi and Srimati Sita Devi is included in the Vaishnava etiquette manual that I was talking about. It is a very important conversation. Then the conversation between Draupadi Devi and the principal queens of Sri Krishna in Dwarka, as mentioned in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, that conversation is also very relevant. So Draupadi Devi, Anasuya Devi, Sita Devi, Rukmini Devi, these are all ideal wives. And we must study their character. Even Devahuti Devi, how she served Kardama Muni. It's very, very exemplary. So yes, Mataji. That conversation is very, very important. Thank you for mentioning it. What is your good name, Mataji?
Sita Priti Prabhu.
Sita Priti. Hare Krishna.
Hi, Prabhu. Thank you so much, Prabhu. For it was a wonderful class. And thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Jai Guru Gavadha. So, Shyamakauri Mataji, we can end the class.
Yeah, Hare Krishna Prabhuji Dandavat Pranam. I have a question.
I also had one quick question.
Asking how to give Krishna consciousness to the child. And you were mentioning in the class that King Vena, because of King Vena, Maharajanga left everything and went to forest. So what is the extent we have to try our best to give them Krishna consciousness or leave them alone. That's it. They are not listening now enough. So,
Mataji,
this
is the third question I'm getting on raising children. So I just want to make it clear that I am absolutely no authority on children upbringing. But I am one of those parents who is struggling with my many, many weaknesses with upbringing while bringing up my two very wonderful children. Gopal, he is 16 and Maithili is 8. Both are very wonderful kids. But I am no authority. I am struggling very much. But I will say this. Sometimes when it appears that children are going away from Krishna consciousness, they are not listening. It is just a temporary phase. Maybe the child, when they are in their 20s or they are in their 30s, you know, all that culture that has been given to them from their childhood, it will fructify. All the japa that they have done, all the verses that they have memorized, all the classes that they have heard, it will fructify. It takes time for it to fructify. Like my father had planted sagwan when we were literally 7-8 years old. And now that sagwan plantation is, now those trees have become really big, and they will, if we decide to cut them, they will fetch Lakshmi. They will fetch money. So it takes time. So similarly, it's like planting sagwan. It takes time. It will give results later on. It may give results later on. Now, some children are very, very divine. They may be very Krishna conscious from their childhood, and they will maintain it. They will get initiated when they are 12 and 30, like our Kirtida Sundari Mataji and Ajay Govind Prabhu's son, Ujjwal Rasananda Prabhu. He's so fortunate. He got the mercy of Srila Bhakti Charu Swami Maharaj at such a young age. There are many examples like that. I met one devotee from Alachua, Sakshi Gopal Prabhu. His son, I think his name is Gauranga, he got initiated at the age of 13. Chanting 16 rounds, he has got Shikha and Tilak and everything. Very nice boy. So there are so many examples like that. And they have their own karma, they might have been devotees in their past lives. So everybody has a different level of spiritual advancement, spiritual realization. And we act based on that. So children may be having some difficulty because just look at the environment in America. It's so the Snapchat and Instagram and smartphones, what the youth is doing today, it is so distracting. We didn't have so much distraction when we were their age. We had nothing but Doordarshan, and Doordarshan also came when I was almost a teenager. Not exactly, but when I was 12, 10, 11 years old, that time Doordarshan came to our house. So our whole childhood was playing cricket, flying kites, playing soccer, like that. But now it's a different generation. Everything is Snapchat, everything is Instagram. So what to do? We have come to this country and we have chosen to bring them up here. So like Prabhupada said, we have to make the best of the bad bargain. Just give them Krishna consciousness in a very intelligent way. Scientifically, give them the sweetness of Krishna consciousness. Tell them Krishna Leela. And someday it will fructify. Someday in their life, a great devotee will come who will just win their hearts. Like Devananda Pandit. Devananda Pandit was, his heart was so dry. He was an impersonalist. And he didn't care about Srinivas Thakur when he was thrown out of his class. Mahaprabhu came and chastised him. Devananda Pandit didn't say much. He was a very dry person, philosophical person. But somehow or the other, all that reading of Bhagavatam and everything, somehow it fructified later on. And he met this devotee called Vakreshwar Pandit. who would think a very dry, studious, nerdish devotee like Devananda Pandit will just, his heart will be stolen by a dancer, Vakreshwar Pandit. Vakreshwar Pandit did not give philosophical classes. But somehow he just won the heart of Devananda Pandit. Devananda Pandit became mad in love with Vakreshwar Pandit. He just gave everything to Vakreshwar Pandit. Started serving him. And by serving a great soul like Vakreshwar Pandit, who is Tunda Vidya Sakhi, one of the Ashta Sakhis from Goloka Vrindavan, Devananda Pandit was completely transformed. His Vaishnava Prabhu was wiped away because he begged forgiveness. And in Kulyagaram, Mahaprabhu gave him Krishna Prema. So our children may be like, may go through difficult phases, but maybe when they're in their 20s or 30s or sometime in their life, they will meet somebody who will just win their heart. and their life will never be the same again. They will become what we have envisioned them to become. All our prayers, all the samskar that we have given, it will fructify. It will never go waste. So we have to be patient. We have to look at the long-term picture, not just what they are doing today. Let them be wild for some time. Let them deviate for some time if they want to. What can we do? Krishna consciousness is a voluntary process. It cannot be forced. We were not forced to become devotees. If somebody, Gargoyle would have put a gun on my head and said, Abhay, chant 16 rounds, I would have never become a devotee. But no, I would argue with him. If there are 8.4 million species, why the dinosaur and dodo got extinct? So now there are 8.4 minus 2 species. So your Padma Purana is wrong. All these nonsense arguments I used to give him. And he used to patiently just accept, not argue. And somehow he won my heart. Here is an engineer. He can sing so nicely. He can speak so nicely. He can dance so nicely. He looks so nice. And he has shaved his head. He eats 2 meals in a day, wears saffron, and he's so simple. I gave my heart to Gaurava Padmaru. I said, I will do what you want. He said, chant 16 rounds. I started chanting. So it takes time. Let them go here and there, but they will come back. What to do? We have to be good examples and we have to give them love. No matter what, whether they are chanting 16 rounds or they are chanting 0 rounds. We love them as children. We care for them. And they will come. Everything will fructify. Everything will fructify. Ramban never goes in vain. So Krishna Nam, if they have chanted Krishna Nam, they will become devotees someday. Prabhupada said, he wrote a letter to Hayagriva Maharaj, Hayagriva Prabhu, and Hayagriva Prabhu left. He said, I have noticed once you came to Vrindavan with me and you were chanting very sincerely in Vrindavan. Prabhupada writes in the letter, because once you have chanted sincerely the name of Krishna, Hayagriva Prabhu, I'm telling you, someday you will come back to Krishna consciousness and you will go back home back to Godhead. And in that very lifetime later on, just before his death, he came back. We have discussed the story of Hayagriva Maharaj. He took sannyas and he was engaged in pure devotional service when he left his body. Everything fructified. His years of service is fructified. So it will fructify. You have to wait. Taddenu kampam susamikshamano. You have to wait. Is that okay? Shama Gauri Mataji?
Yeah. Thank you, Prabhu. Very nice.
Hare Krishna. Jai Shila Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Can you hear me? Hare Krishna.
Yes, Mataji.
Yes, just a very quick question. Well, for one thing, that was very inspirational answer that you just gave, but for applying to my own life, not to my kids. But the question I had was, when you said that Jiva Goswami was the most prolific writer, I was wondering if you would compare him to Vyasadeva himself. Or is that separate category?
Hare Krishna. That is, I did not think of it like that. Yeah, but see, Vyasadeva is Bhagwan.
Mm-hmm.
Vyasadeva is addressed as Bhagwan. Vyasadeva is the personality of Godhead. He's an incarnation of Krishna. So he's in a different category. Of course, Vyasadeva has Shaktyavesh
avatar?
Shaktyavesh avatar, yes. Shakti avatar. The empowered incarnation of Krishna. So he's in a different category.
Okay. And thank you again for that inspiring answer that you gave, Shyama Gauri Mataji, because like I said, it was, I need to hear that as it applies to my own life. Thank you. Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Thank you, Mataji. What is your good name?
This is Gaurangi. You haven't heard from me.
Gaurangi Mataji. Yeah. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dandavat Pranams. Thank you so much for the very, very beautiful class. Prabhu, there are 3 questions on the chat box. Is it okay if we read? Do you have time?
Madhari, actually, I was supposed to get on a call, another class call. So, okay.
No problem.
I'm so sorry.
No.
Let me read one message. I got one. Just one second, please.
Okay.
Quickly read this message. Because I don't know. Okay, there is nothing. Yeah, we can go ahead. So I think there was no class. We can go ahead. Yes.
Hare you Krishna. Sure, Prabhu? Is it okay?
Yeah.
Let's see the chat. The first one is, what is the potency of our prayer? Can they change the outcome that we want? Or is it all Krishna's decision? Please explain. This is from Vanita Mataji.
Hare Krishna. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says,
Shadanga Sharanagati Hoite Jahara Tahara Prarthana Shune Srinanda Kumara. Sharanagati has got six limbs. Dainya Atma Nivedana Goptritva Varana Avasha Rakshive Krishna Vishwasa Palana Bhakti Anukula Matra Karyera Svikara Bhakti Pratikula Bhava Varjana Gikara. Dainya Bhava, humility, accepting Krishna as one's maintainer, surrendering completely to Krishna, Atma Nivedanam, having full Vishwas, full faith that Krishna is my protector, Avashya Rakshita Krishna Vishwasa Palana, accepting what is favorable for bhakti and rejecting what is unfavorable for bhakti. These last two are very deep. Accepting what is favorable and rejecting what is unfavorable. This is what I meant when I said we should always try to situate ourselves on the transcendental plane. We should not give even little leeway to Maya. So this is the meaning. Anukulya sankalpa pratikulyasya varjanam. So Rupa Goswami gives us six limbs of bhakti, six limbs of sharanagati. If we have these six symptoms, that means we are sharanagat. That means we are surrendered to Krishna. And Krishna says, Sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam brajam. Aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayishyami masucha. To get Krishna prem, there is a key. And that key is sharanagati. The lock is there. Sharanagati lock. And we have to unlock it. And to unlock it is a six-pronged key. The six limbs of sharanagati. Six-pronged key to open the lock of surrender. Because Krishna will give himself to us only if we are surrendered to him. What is surrender? Surrender is the six things. To be humble, to be completely surrendered to Krishna, to accept Krishna as one's maintainer, to have complete faith that Krishna is my protector in all circumstances, to do what is favorable for bhakti, and to give up things that are unfavorable for bhakti. And then Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Shad Anga Sharanagati, these six limbs of Sharanagati, Hoite Jahara, wherever, in whichever devotee you find these six symptoms of Sharanagati, the six limbs of Sharanagati, the devotee in whom you find the six limbs of Sharanagati, Tahara Prarthana Sune Srinanda Kumara. Shri Krishna, Rajendra Nandan Krishna, Nanda Nandan Krishna, will always answer the prayers of such a Sharanagat devotee. Shadanga Sharanagati Hoite Jahara Tahara Prarthana Sune Srinanda Kumara. Please memorize this verse. So wherever there are six limbs of Sharanagati, Krishna has to hear the prayers. Now, let us see some examples from Shastra. Srimati Draupadi Devi, when she was being assaulted by the wicked rascal Dushasan, she raised her hands and she prayed, Govinda Dwaraka Vasin Krishna Gopi Jana Priya. In the mood of the gopis, she prayed that Krishna, you are supposed to steal my sari. You did the Chirharan Leela. You stole the saris of the Vrajavadhus. You are supposed to steal my sari. But look at this Dushasan, this atheist, this rascal. He hates you, he is envious of you and your devotees. And he is stealing my sari, that sari which is your property. So, she was surrendered and therefore Krishna answered her prayer. Now, let us take the example of Srila Bhakti Charu Swami Maharaj. We all prayed. There were pure devotees who were praying. There were his loving God brothers who were praying for Bhakti Charu Swami Maharaj's recovery. So does it mean that Krishna did not answer their prayers? That means they are not surrendered? Well, let us look at the Shadanga Sharanagati. The Shadanga Sharanagati is that one, a devotee who is Sharanagat, who is surrendered, has full faith that Krishna is the protector. So what protection is Krishna talking about? In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Kaunteya Pratijanihi Name Bhakta Pranash. Arjun declared boldly, my devotee will never perish. Are? But before that, before the ninth chapter, in the second chapter itself, Krishna has already established that you are not this body, you are the soul. Dehi Rosvi Nidha Dehe Kaumaram Yavanam Jara Tatha Dehantara Praptim Dhira Satrana Munyati. He talks about death. He talks about a transmigration of the soul. So Krishna has already established that we are the soul, we are not the body. So when Krishna says, I will protect you, he is talking about spiritual protection, not the protection of the physical body. Because the life expectancy of a devotee also is same as the general population, 70 to 80 years, average life expectancy. So body has to die. Whether you die at the age of 75, the body, or you die at the age of 80 or 70 or 65, it doesn't matter. The body has to die. Even Srila Prabhupada left. Even Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur left. Even Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj left. All the devotees leave their body. So the protection is not of the body, the protection of the spiritual body. So therefore, we were praying that, oh my dear Lord Krishna, if it is your desire, then please let our beloved Bhakti Charu Swami Maharaj, please stay with us so he can continue to guide us and inspire us. But Krishna had other plans. And to accept those plans is a lip of Sharanagati. Accepting what is favorable and rejecting what is unfavorable. So if Krishna wants to do something, we have to bow down to Krishna's desire. All right. You see? So to your answer our question, whether Krishna answers our prayers, when does he answer our prayers? He answers our prayers if we are Sharanagati. Sharanga Sharanagati Hoite Jahara Tahara Prarthana Sune Srinanda Kumara. But if we are Sharanagat, we will not keep a condition that Krishna, you have to listen to my prayer. Because Sharanagati means Ashlishyava Padaratam Pinashtuma Madarshanan Marmahatam Karotuma Yatha Tathava Vidha Tulam Patomata Prananathastu Sahevana. Having faith that Krishna always gives spiritual protection. And as far as other things are concerned, you do whatever you want. Maro bhi rakho bhi jo ichha tohar. Nitya das, I am your eternal servant. So like that. But if we want Krishna to really answer our prayer, that we may be praying for our children, we may be praying for spiritual advancement, we may be praying for other devotees' spiritual advancement. If we want Krishna to answer our prayers, then we have to cultivate the six limbs of surrender. Because Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Shadanga Sharanagati Hoite Yahara Tahara Prarthana Shune Shri Nanda Kumara. Does it help answer your question, Mataji?
Yes, she thanks you on the chat. Thank you so much, Prabhu.
Thank you.
Jai Shri. Prabhu, can you send this verse audio, Prabhu, that you have told to memorize?
Yes, I will send it to Prasin Mataji.
Thank you, Prabhu.
Prabhu, do you have time for the second question? There's only one more question left.
Yes, Mataji. Yes.
Okay. So this is from Sonika. She says, Hare Krishna Prabhuji, in case of Garbhadhan Samskara, what if the husband is not a devotee and doesn't chant and only the wife does the chanting? Will there be any effect?
Hare Krishna. So Mataji, we have to understand that there are always two fingers. There's a finger of our effort and there is finger of Krishna's mercy. From our sides, we have to be sincere. We have to chase Krishna and we have to try to catch him. Like Yashoda Mai did. And when Krishna is pleased, he will agree to be captured by us. We have to try our best to bind him. We have to get all the ropes possible in Vraj. All the ropes. But still we may not be able to tie him, bind him. But when Krishna is pleased with our effort, then he will give his mercy. And then the two finger, two short rope will be sufficient to bind Krishna with our love. So there are always two things. Our effort and Krishna's mercy. So from our side, we have to be sincere. And we can chant extra rounds. We can try to be pure. We can try to read and hear more. We can try to be absorbed from our side. As far as, you know, our spouse is concerned, it is their free will. Everybody has a free will. But we can pray to Krishna for the spouse. We can pray to Krishna to give us a very devotional child. And Krishna can do it. You see, Hiranyakashipu and Kayadhu did not want a Krishna conscious child. But they got one. They got Prahlad. Now Prahlad is a Mahabhagavat. But guess who was Prahlad's son? It was Virochan, who was not a devotee. He was a demon. He was atheist. Virochan. But who was Virochan's son? Another Mahajan. Bali Maharaj. Bali Maharaj was a pure devotee. But who was Bali Maharaj's son? Another rascal. Banasur. Who who challenged Krishna, who played a drum for Lord Shiva. So, Bada Suri. So, see, there is one generation devotee, another generation is not devotee. There is Kashyapuni, he is devotee. Then there is Hiranyakashipu, he is a demon. Then there is Prahlad, devotee. Then there is Virochan, who is demon. Then there is Bali Maharaj, devotee. Then there is Badasur, who is a demon. So you see, it is not in our hands only. There are many factors. Garbhadhan Samskar is one factor. But it is not guaranteed that just because we do, Krishna has to do this. It depends on our destiny. It depends on which Jivatma wants to take shelter of the womb at that time. It will be very helpful if the husband also cooperates. It will be very conducive if the husband also chants and follows the regulative principles of Krishna consciousness. But if not, then you should be in the mood. You should be in the mood of the Nagapagnis. You should not that you start considering calling the husband Kaliya. Not like that. But you can be in the Sharanagat mood of the Nagapagnis. You can be in the mood of the gopis whose husbands were trying to stop them from going. You can be in the mood of the Yajna Patnis, whose husbands, the Yajna Brahmins, were not favorably disposed to Krishna. We can be in that mood. Why are there so many examples of such wives in the scriptures who struggled to be Krishna conscious? To give hope to us. Because Krishna knows that there will be so many Matajis in this world who will be struggling with this situation where the husband is not favorable. So we have to take shelter of the prayers of the Nagapatnis. One can recite the prayers of Nagapatnis. One can recite the prayers of the gopis. One can recite the Gopi Geet. Very beautiful verses. One can memorize the Gopi Geet. And just be sincere as far as possible. And ultimately, avashya rakshibe Krishna. Krishna will definitely do what is best for you. Don't worry. But you can pray for the husband. You can pray for the best outcome. And then whatever happens, again we tolerate. Taddenu kampam susamikshaman bhunjana eva atma kritam vipak. It's our own karma. But rida vak vapur bhin rida heart, vak, words, vapu with our body, vidadhan namaste. We offer our love and respect and love to Krishna. Jivetayo mukti pade dayavak. So we just wait for Krishna's mercy. So just wait for Krishna's mercy while you are sincerely practicing Krishna consciousness. Is that okay, Mataji? Does that answer help? Does that help?
Yeah, she says thank you very much, Prabhuji, for the very wonderful answer. Thank you, Mataji.
Das awesome. Hare Krishna. Yeah.
So I think the rest of them are just comments. So that's all the questions, Prabhu.
Thank you so much, Priti Vilasari Mataji. Thank you, Shama Gauri Mataji and all the devotees. Very grateful. Jai Shila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhupada. Thank you so much for your discourse this morning.
Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Koti Koti Dandavat Pranam. I will take only 1 minute. There is no question, Prabhu. One Mataji, Shama Mataji, that in Shri Radha Gopinath, Prabhuji, I take your permission and explain. In Shri Radha Gopinath, Vishakha Mataji is so sincere Vaishnavi. When she first time came in a Radha Gopinath temple, that time she told that I am a tomboy and short hair and jeans and t-shirt. I will come temple, but I will not wear a Indian dress. I will not make a big hair. To directly Radhanath Maharaj. But that doesn't mean she's from Gujarati family, but Prabhuji is growing her as a boy. So that she's so soft-hearted. It's not like outlooking and you are grow by a tomboy. Yes, but your heart is so soft like a coconut. So she contact with the Mahaprabhu and in a garage, there is a Shri Radha Madan Mohan temple, and she is making garland and doing seva and cooking. And Gujarati people are very orthodox, so her mother is following where my daughter is going every day. So she is crying to see that how sincerely my daughter is accepting Lakshishi Laddu Gopal. So we don't know that when we get the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev, Shri Radha Gopinath. Koti Koti Dandavat Pranam, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev Ki Jai. So we should not worry, Mataji. My two daughters, up to 12th grade, they are so sincere, get up early in the morning, Tashtudrat Sridham Pradhandam. Now they are doing only 2-3 rounds. But Janva Mataji told that one day they become so sincere, Vaishnavi sitting in your shoulder. So Mataji, please don't worry about anything. Koti Koti Dandavat Pranam, Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
one Mataji has a one story, Mataji. Sometimes I will sure explain you. Koti Koti Dandavat Pranam.
Thank you, Mataji.
Hare Krishna. So from being tomboy, she has become a devotee of Nityananda Mahashoy.
Yeah, so sincere Vaishnavi. She is taking a 16 to 30 years Vaishnavi's class once in a month. And my God, she is taking so many sevas in Shri Radha Gopinath temple. That much sincere Vaishnavi. Even Dwarkadish Prabhuji is so shy. And here, Vishaka Mataji is tomboy. But she married with Dwarkadish Prabhuji. They travel all over the world and preach how we have to tackle the family and how to tackle our kids and husband. Family class.
Thank you. Thank you, Vrinda Gopika Mataji, very much. Jai Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for your enlightening class today. And thank you so much for giving your regular association in Bhakti Sangha, Prabhu. We are so grateful to you. Please give us your regular association, Prabhu. If nobody have any question, we can end the call here. It's already 9:11.
Thank you, paying
obeisances to all the devotees and Prabhuji, Vancha Kalpataruvyasha, Kupasindhuvayaja, Patitanam Pavnevya Vaishnavevya Namo Namah. Grantra Srimad Bhagatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. His grace Adigadadas
Prabhu Ki Jai.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji.
Thank you so much, Prabhu.